All right, so Proverbs chapter 13, verse 18, that Proverbs states, "He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored." So the way we start this is, one, what is that saying? What are we talking about here? What's the grand concept in this particular proverb? And then we can go into the process of talking about it and then assigning it a category.
I think it's talking about pride.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Welcome the chance to grow and become better. If you're rebuking that discipline, you're being prideful that I know better than God does.
Yeah, very good. Pride.
That leads to poverty and shame.
Yeah.
What do you have as the last word of the verse?
Honored.
Honored. You want us to have something different? It's all honored.
Is that in your Bible meaning instructions? That last word.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. Is that what it is for King James?
Yeah, instruction.
Instruction, and then the very end of verse 18.
Well, you know, the...
We are in chapter 13.
Poverty and shame, that's two things that I don't know of any human being that cherishes that as a gift or as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, and him that refuseth instructions. But the Bible says that a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So if you get a fool, or an idiot, you know, he's not going to listen to good instructions. I mean, you know, he doesn't have it in him.
Yeah.
You know, he really doesn't have it. He doesn't have the ability to do it. It eludes him, really.
To answer your question, the word was he who ignores discipline. And in yours, I think you're saying instruction.
No, King James, who accepts instruction will be...
The last part of the verse.
The very last part.
Yeah, the last.
Okay. The one who accepts instruction will be...
Well, I thought you just read down to the word instruction, yeah.
So it says instruction instead of correction.
Yeah.
That regard of correction. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's all synonyms if you want. Poetic synonyms, but yeah. Discipline, correction. Maybe that's probably the harder part, is to realize you get spanking and you're a kid. That's called a correction.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah, but it was because you did something wrong, and now you know what's right. It might have cost you something in the moment, but did you learn something, or are you going to get another spanking?
I got another one. The second one I learned for sure.
Yep, there you go.
It was a hit. I heard first. It was the first one.
Yeah.
So what categories would you assign this particular proverb to then? We've said pride.
I was going to say what Margie said, pride.
Edwards mentioned something about fools. I'm like a fool.
Fools? Yep.
I thought they said wolves. Fools and wise.
Under God's guidance, you got the word instruction there.
Yep, instruction.
Yeah. And counsel and obedience.
Yeah, what about obedience and faithfulness?
Plans, if you don't listen to your instruction, you're going to screw up your life.
That is true. Counsel.
Wise God.
Ooh. Yep. 18. Great. Yes, writing down the verse that goes with each one. There you go.
I did that first day. It was hard to keep up. It was like, what are they talking about?
Hey, at least you didn't do the wrong chapter like I did.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So let's go on to verse 19. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil.
It's worse than I thought it was.
In the King James, it says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil.
Few things are as sweet as an accomplishment. Especially when your accomplishment is in God's, God's will, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're doing what God wants you to do, that accomplishment is pretty sweet.
There's a little bit of openness to it. Like, it could be a good desire fulfilled. Yeah, it's up front, like on your taste buds when it first hits.
Yeah.
And one note here says whether a longing fulfilled is good or bad depends on the nature of the dream or the desire.
Yeah.
It is pleasant to achieve worthwhile goals, but not all goals are worth pursuing to the end.
But when you realize they're not worth pursuing, it's still sweet to the soul because you realized it. Is that where you were going?
Yeah, like you can. It's still alluring because it's a desire.
Yeah.
But if it's one worth following, then it will be satisfying to the soul. So that's, I guess, the question. Yeah.
I know we came upon a verse somewhat like this before. A fool every time they're chasing something. It's always like I view it as a circle. It's like they meet this little dot, but they're still going around the circle trying to chase that thing, whatever it is, whether it's evil, most of the time it is, but or they're foolish ways.
They don't know what they're chasing.
Yeah. They're never satisfied. They're always going after the next thing. There's no, which goes to the first part of verse. There's no sweetness. There's no satisfaction whatsoever. They're always chasing something.
So, what would you assign this to? What categories could we assign this proverb to?
Gift from God.
Gift from God. Do what?
Fools.
Yep.
What did we say?
Gift from God.
Right.
And fools.
Pride.
Yeah, pride.
Colin, you're still mine.
Sorry.
Probably could go back to even that illusion, the sin of illusion, going for the fool again.
Yep. So, Scooby, let's say, since Carla took yours, which was pride, what would be the opposite of that on the list in the category above?
I would say probably righteousness.
Righteousness? Or obedience?
Obedience is another one.
Yeah.
And then influences.
Ooh. Yeah, our influence to others?
Yeah, because it's a desire to fill. And then, would faith be a good one? Faithfulness?
Yeah. Yeah, because if you are faithfully following Christ, the things that you fulfill will be sweet, won't they? Verse 20 says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm."
Well, I take that as if you walk with believers, you become a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You walk with fools, you become a fool.
Yes.
Be careful who your friends are.
Yep. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful the company that you keep.
Peer pressure.
Dad always used to tell me, be aware of the company you keep. Because if they're in trouble, you will be too. Guilt by association. Peer pressure. Yeah.
You know, our dad always told us, you know, the company you keep, you will be identified with.
That's right.
If one of them robs a bank, and you're with them, you know, you may never entertain the idea of, you know, robbing a bank or had ever desire or anything. It doesn't matter. You're with them.
It doesn't matter whether you drove the car or walked in. The police see it both ways, right? You're still
going down. You know, you're part of the program, and you're going to jail.
Yeah. So what categories would we assign the 20th proverb here?
Well, the first part is a promise of God, you know. It is a promise.
Yep.
And for God to promise you, you know, of course, His word, you know, we know how to live by His word, you know. I mean, His overall word. We get that, you know. And we don't always follow it, but we get it, you know. But then to become a wise man, that should be one of our number one desires, is to become spiritually wise.
Yeah.
Number one on the list, wise right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's, you know.
I actually put it under family and friends, under friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's really giving guidance around, hey, this is a... Here's that fringe structure. Here's an example of a good one and a not so good one.
I put it under gift from God.
Yeah.
I put it under influence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obedience.
Obedience. That'd be good. What about commitment?
Yes.
Compassion, I'm sorry.
Yeah, compassionate down at the bottom. Down in, this is our God, that God is showing us compassion when, you know, we hang around wise people, He allows us that opportunity to grow. So verse 21 says, misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous.
Comes around, goes
around. Yeah, what comes around, comes around. Yep, what reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
I have a note in my Bible. It says, karma. Nope. God. Looks like He said it first.
That's a pretty strong word in that first part, or at least I don't know if yours said this, but mine says, evil pursues sinners.
Yep.
It's a pretty strong word to say it pursues someone.
The pursuit. Yeah.
Mine has pursues the same, but it says disaster.
Mine says disaster too.
Oh, disaster instead of evil?
Uh-huh.
So disaster pursues sinners?
Yes, but
the it's like on the water. Perpetual Murphy's Law.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing.
I like this better than this one's nice.
Yeah.
Compared to.
Yeah, this specific, yeah.
Mine's is adversity. But you know, temporarily, a lot of times, that isn't necessarily true.
Well, this sinners, is all about end goals.
Right. Yeah. Sinners have lots of things sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that last week, right? Where,
yeah.
Where sometimes it takes a while to catch up, but God's still watching.
Well, right. It's like what it's talking about. It's the end that's it's talking about, really. It's not, this is going to be the constant thing throughout their life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, but they still have sometimes lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah. Just because they have nice things, nice cars, nice boats, nice houses, don't mean that behind the door, behind closed doors, they're not
absolutely
miserable.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of people with money, they're just miserable.
Right.
Yeah, and the other way to look at these Proverbs are two ways. One, how does it relate now or back then? But then how does it relate in eternity? Right? So there's two ways to look at them. How does this proverb apply today? And how does this proverb apply for eternity? In each one of these, we're going to get to some of them that are really eternity focused in just a few verses. It's very eternity focused is what it seemed like to me when I was reading through it.
Well, if you put it that way, then this means more that like those who walk the narrow path and stay on the path will be rewarded.
Yeah.
And those who don't, trouble will follow.
Yes. It's amazing to me how God and our relationship with God, we have talked about that every single time we've opened up the book of Proverbs in different words, different ways of saying it, different concepts that, you know, I really like how God has put this very simple story, come follow me, throughout all of Scripture. And even in, you know, the day that King Solomon was writing to everyone and he wrote down all these Proverbs, these Proverbs still apply today in this ideology of come follow me, right? It's pretty amazing how God made the Bible work.
Though this is salvation under grace, you sort of set aside, you know, but still all Scriptures are given by the inspiration of God.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you can't reference the Bible, you know, you may be reading in Romans, you know, it leads you back to, you know, wherever, Numbers or wherever,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's all good, you know. I mean, you ain't gonna get no salvation out of the Old Testament, you know. I mean, it's not there, you know. This is
giant flashing arrow to it to come.
Way.
You need it.
By grace through faith, you know, for us, you know.
Yeah.
So what categories would we assign verse 21 to?
Good life, evil, death.
Good life, evil, yeah. So your speech.
You know, that first three words is pretty strange. Evil pursueth sinners. Well, and you know, Paul's writing tells us that the righteous shall suffer persecution. You know, sinners seem to, I'm like that song, why are we been beaten around, you know, all the world's not being molested, you know, I mean, they've not been, you know, but it's in there, so.
Your
evil
sin doesn't have to, evil doesn't have to pursue you. He's already there, right?
Yeah.
Those
yeah,
of us who
yeah,
are in the Bible, they really have to pursue us.
Yeah, if you've never suffered for the cause of Christ, you know, that's one thing. But I mean, it's real, you know. It's a real deal. I mean, But the sinners, I don't know. Some of this is, well, the whole Bible's that way. Some of it is sort of, unexplainable. It's really, it's unexplainable.
But some sinners do suffer during life. I mean, you look at people who get arrested, get thrown in jail for years and years and years, they're suffering from whatever sin they commit. So, I mean, just because, it looks like they're doing good, a lot of times they're really not. I don't know what it'd be like to be in prison for 20 years or 15 years, and that would have to be terrifying. So, I mean, you can suffer as a sinner while you're still alive. I would think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay. So what are the categories? So far we've got the fools, we have the simple. Because sometimes we are sinners.
Yeah, I put them down as thieves and sluggers.
Yeah,
sluggers.
There you go.
How do you pronounce that? Under righteousness, I have half.
Yep.
This thing about pursuit and this kind of long term.
Yep. Righteous. Yep. I also I put down your influence under that.
That's a good one, yeah.
Because as you know,
I have faith and commitment.
Faith and commitment. Moving on way down to the bottom of the list, what about sovereignty and compassion? I think you said compassion, didn't you? You said that for another one.
Yeah.
You said that one for the previous one.
Yeah.
Yeah, sovereignty and compassion. I see the compassion is God rewarding us for being righteous. And it's hard, right? Being righteous, being good, doing the right thing is often difficult. I mean, it's not easy to do the right thing all the time. And it just proves out the sovereignty of God that he is always watching and he's looking out and his expectation of us is to behave. But he offers.
But it gets to God's justice too when you talk about his sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
To say that, all right, there's somebody who has sinned against you and they got away with it. It's not on you to go and seek vengeance. God's got this. Disaster
yep.
is already in the works after that person, and God will be the one to personally reward you.
Interesting you even make that statement, because then if you reread it with the words that you have, disaster follows the sinner. God's already taken care of it. It's good. Any other conversation? Thoughts? Verse 22. One of the things I like about Proverbs is we just play popcorn. We're going to talk about something different now. Maybe, sort of. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous.
I can see that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. I can see it as how we're living today and at the very end, either one.
Yeah.
Like today, living as like today, so if I'm a good person and I do good and I have a job and I save my money and I get a house, and I can leave all that to my kids. As a sinner, I just blow through everything as I go through it. And then the righteous, the good people, will come in and pay the taxes on my house that I never paid, get the house from me,
Yeah.
The bank will repo my car, all that kind of stuff. That's what if I was living as of today. But in the long run, then if I'm a righteous person, I'm going to church, I'm doing the right thing, then I'm going to raise my kids that way. Mm-hmm. Then my kids are going to be raised, their kids that way, and it keeps continuing that way. So, I mean, to me, I can see it two different ways.
Yeah, very good.
So, from a different perspective.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it's not always the inheritance. We often think of inheritance as something financial or something, right? I like your picture there that you've painted, where our investment is really in Christ and teaching our children about them. You know, and God promises us that if we teach them, they might walk away for a little while, but they're still going to know, right? They still have the opportunity to make choices. They make decisions on their own. But if we raise them under God's protection, under the ideals of Christ, those ideas are never going to go away from them. They may walk away from them, but they're never going to escape them.
So is this the one you were saying was eternally focused?
No, but it is.
I didn't know if you were going for Beatitudes or...
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
But, I mean, you can look at this one eternally focused as well.
Right. Well, it rang my bell with the Beatitudes of blessed are the meek because they'll inherit the earth. That's the whole idea of it's all going to end up belonging to the righteous, the meek, those who are blessed.
Yeah.
That's what it has in my note.
Is that thing about the Beatitudes?
Well, no. It has, while good men's estates remain with their families, the wealth of the wicked does not. In the providence of God, it ultimately belongs to the righteous. And I was trying to figure out how in the world, where it's transferred. But I didn't even think about the verse you were talking about there. I was like, oh, yeah.
Jesus got it from somewhere.
Exactly. I was struggling to put that together in my head where it's transferred at, and that answers that.
Well, we talked about that this morning. We're in Revelation. We're right at the point where Jesus literally comes, and all the evil of the world is gone. The most powerful people in the world are gone, and Jesus enters in with all the righteous. And so it's at that moment. Everything you thought you had, this great, wonderful place that you built up and that you destroyed, well, now everything, all of it, belongs to Jesus and his people.
And you might say that we get to heaven and the streets are made of gold with brick. Well, that sinner, he's not going to have that brick on the street with his name on it. So we get an extra one.
So you're saying...
This is delayed wealth, I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is so not earthly. This
delay.
Is delayed wealth.
So you're saying, let's get a Hinch's Scooby snack then?
Yes.
Sweet. With a chocolate milk pool?
Yep.
Yay.
You got a menu prepared. That's great.
I know.
So what categories would you assign number 22? Verse 22. What'd you say? No,
I was
watching her.
Sometimes.
I thought he was talking to us.
Verse 22?
Yeah, verse 22. What categories could we assign that to?
Let me read the first part of that. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Probably foreknowledge, for one thing, you know.
Yep.
If you could use that, you know.
I would say a diligent worker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would path.
And then I was even down on under the "This is our God" section. I have sovereign. God's.
So sovereign, down in the bottom. You said path.
Yeah.
What about our influence? There you go. That was Tom's.
Yeah.
No, I had to think.
Good Do what?
I had to think. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, your influence to others. Diligent workers.
No, really, there's not very many wrong answers.
Not really. I don't think I've told anybody no yet. In all the weeks that we've been doing this, I've never said nope. Verse 23, a poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. In the Amplified, it it includes these concepts. It says, a poor man's field unattended may produce abundant food, but without protection, the injustice sweep it away.
Says, abundant food is in the fallow, uncultivated ground of the poor, but without protection, it's swept away by injustice.
Okay.
Mine says, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste.
Huh.
They're all very different.
They're all very different.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like a lot of English speakers have a really hard time with the word justice.
I think there's some very fertile ground that the poor own, but if they don't cultivate it, reading their Bibles and such, it's all going to go to waste. It's there for no reason.
It's almost like on the off chance somebody who is in poverty has a field and they can't even afford to take care of it, and it grows food anyway. Well, if there's no justice, like someone else is going to come by and steal from them, or so I think that's where the protection part of it's coming in. That there should be a king who makes sure that no one else is stealing from one another.
Yeah, when I read this, I agree with all of the comments, but when I read this, I directed this to the categories of thieves and sluggards,
yeah,
as well as obedience, specifically. And the obedience part goes along with the cultivation, right? I mean, we all have this abundant field that we have. And if we work the field, then it can produce. If we don't, that all of our friends are still there in that field. But if we're not working in the field to help them see Christ, then, you know, we didn't do our job. That's how I read the first part of that, anyway.
I was going to say, this one I do have a...
Good. Read it.
So this one here says, in 1323, lack of justice. The contrast here is between the poor but industrious man who will be rewarded with provision from his efforts. It's contrasted with the rich man whose efforts are actually brought to ruin by his deeds of injustice. So,
what version is that?
New King James?
That's the commentary.
And this is a MacArthur study Bible. So, yeah.
Mine is the fallow ground of the poor will yield much food, but it's swept away through injustice. One thing we're saying up there.
Yeah.
So do you think that it's that, you know, a rich man can do all this stuff, right? And seemingly, you know, be above board, but in actuality his riches are ruined by the actual actions that
sins
get him there. So to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Whereas a poor man, you know, he's just out in the field and doing his thing, and he at least gets something for what he's doing,
mm-hmm,
even though, you know, he may not have, like you said, had full capacity to make it, you know, be grand and wonderful.
It's really hard to get across the granular, so the very small need for righteousness to be applied to every single individual. Yeah. It's like thinking that the only policemen in the whole state are only in Indianapolis, you know what I mean? If that was the way it actually was, what would the rest of Indiana be? I mean, Israel's not that big, but basically, if you're trying to enforce the rule of law, and you want everybody, rich and poor, to be able to, if they work hard, get something out of it, what you end up having is saying, all right, what's the bigger priority? What's the thing that you want to, that you need to have for even the possibility of poor people being able to work hard? I think that's where the justice comes in, is trying to say, hey, king, you're going to be in charge, reader of this this book. One day you're going to be part of ruling the new heavens and new earth. There you go. You should prioritize equity. Prioritize everyone having a fair shot at this. So we got to keep out evil. We got to have consequences for when evil happens. All that stuff.
Well, mine says without justice, it is swept away.
Yeah.
So you got to do it God's way. If you don't, you're going to lose. And you don't even understand why a lot of times, or you think, well, I was doing what was right. No, God's righteousness is so important. If you don't, you miss out.
So what categories would we assign this to?
This, if you notice, I know you studied the Bible, all through the Bible, God has, with his wisdom, ability, power, has had a place to insert the poor. One place he said, bless the man who would consider the poor. Could you not have a little consideration for the poor? I think we all have a little bit of it. We all have inherited a little bit of that humbleness or that pity or that ability to, feel sorry for the poor that really is poor.
Yeah.
That's truly poor.
They're not choosing it.
We have people born today probably in the world. They're handicapped, And some of them may take advantage of that at some point in time in their life. But for the most part, and in another place he said you have the poor with you always.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on throughout the But here, he said the poor and the poor's tillage is always food in the poor and the tillage and all in the storehouse or wherever they wherever you would keep food, But that within itself is a great subject.
Yeah,
it really is. Uh-huh. Basically, everybody here is poor to American standards. We were at their store today, and he's paying $14-$15 for something that not because we can remember when it was $2 or $3 or less, but the average person. She asked me today, she said, how does people afford some of this stuff? Well, what is the, have you checked it lately? What is the national credit card debt?
Pass, yeah.
30 trillion, 25, 30, 40 trillion? It's up there somewhere like that. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a call.
They just want to take the raptor. There ain't nothing but the raptor going to wipe it out. I mean, anything short of the raptor, it ain't going to get done. It ain't going to be wiped out. It just can't happen. I don't think it can happen any other way.
Yeah.
I know that the raptor's not going to be good for a lot of people. But for us, there's just more poor, more rich people. Getting rich, people getting richer every day, every year, and then there's more poor people.
Yeah.
There's more up here, and there's more down here. More rich, more poor, more rich, more poor, more rich. It's just growing. It's just the gap is becoming so great.
I definitely go with poor and needy.
Yeah.
Just say it's not enough to consider them and be like, are they doing okay this week? Oh, look, that field they weren't taking care of seemed to make something.
So verse 24, it says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him.
I don't have any kids, so I should stay out of this
one. Really, you don't?
Parenting's an expert, okay?
No, this is a Jewish thing.
This is the eternal one, right? Is that what you're getting? No.
No, the next one.
Oh, okay.
I think this speaks to our definition of love and the illusion that we think we can't discipline our kids because we love them and we can't hurt them, when really we can't handle it.
Yeah.
Right? We don't love them enough to do the hard thing that we should be doing.
Right.
Well, I don't have kids, but I put it under as parents, so. Mm-hmm.
Have you been a kid before, though?
I have. What are you talking about before?
I think this, what you said, I think it does even, number one, you need to discipline. Number two, if you don't, there are going to be some folks who don't feel like they need to or should, and God's word says that.
I like the words, at least in the NIV, it says that they are careful to discipline. Okay. It's not this idea of, you know,
abuse.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what everyone wants to talk about. Well, you can't discipline your kids, or you can't spank them, or whatever. It's being careful and being very judicious about how you do that, right? There's rules around how you do that. There's self-control. There's love. There's all of the pieces that go into that puzzle when you are disciplining, just like when God disciplines us when we disobey. He loves us, but he's still going to give us instruction. He's still going to correct our behavior. He's still going to make sure that at the end of that correction, we still know that he loves us, right? Do what?
We don't want to raise fools.
Right, we don't want to raise fools. That's definitely. We had a conversation with a neighbor, I don't know, 20 years ago, and they were asking, how do you discipline? And we sat down and walked through the whole process of how that actually happens, and she was overwhelmed. Well, that's just too much. Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. You know, one, they got to understand if you, what was it, lying and disobedience and lying.
Defiance.
That's it. Disobedience and defiance.
Defiance and lying.
Thank you. You'll get it right. I'll just repeat it. Defiance and lying. Our girls got a paddling. Outside of that, if it wasn't defiant and they weren't lying, then we could handle it a different way. But when we look at the book of Proverbs, early on in the book of Proverbs, what's the two things that God hates? Lying and, say the other one, defiant behavior and lying. I mean, we saw that in Proverbs, that's what God, it's an abomination to God, right? So that's what the girls would get paddled for. Would they get paddled for tattling? No. I yelled at them a lot. What would they get paddled for? Bad grades? No. Would they get paddled for other things? No. But we dwelt with all of those other things differently. But defiance and lying?
Parents is always honored by being consistent.
And that's the trick, right? Discipline is always consistent, and it's expressed in love. And God is always consistent with us, right?
Love, your instructions, whatever. Consistent.
Yeah.
And that's one of God's great attributes. God is consistent. Every word, every action, He is consistent down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what categories would we put this? We've got parents and children, but this whole concept of loving your kids enough to carefully discipline them.
I'll put instruction.
Instruction, good.
Because what you guys said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instruction.
Probably obedience.
At B times could be called the next tomorrow.
Yeah. What about influence? Could that also be an influence? You know.
That would be.
Yeah. You're not only influencing those around you, but you're influencing your children because they're going to carry that on. If you display a godly opportunity for discipline and correction, they can continue those principles, and their children can grow up to be somewhat behave.
So that really can go back up to verse 22. Leaving, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. His children, mm-hmm. Part of that is that discipline piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, these young people need to realize that, we sit in the doctor's office today beside of a 3-week-old baby. This lady had the baby, was with her mother, which is the grandmother. The grandmother was the patient. And we were sitting there waiting to get called in. And it weighed 5 pounds when it was born 3 weeks ago. It's a black, they're black people, had nothing to do with that baby. That baby, if it could talk, if you ask it, is it white or black?
No care.
It's
just a human being.
That's an adult trait.
Yeah.
That's an adult shortcoming or whatever we're
calling. Yeah. Yeah, it's children are miracles.
But it was a cute little, and we first went in and first saw it. It's a cute little thing. I mean, it was so petite,
So verse 25 is the one that I was looking at from an eternity perspective. It says, "The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry." Anybody else have something?
From my perspective, that first part, you guys have all heard me say it. God has supplied us with everything we need. Mm-hmm. The world has nothing that we need. We've got everything we need. And He supplied it. I mean, we can look back and bring last year up, bring 10 years up, 15, 20, 100, 40, 50, 60 years up. It's all been there. And we've had too many experiences. I mean, we could sit here for just not tomorrow night, not even, hardly get the shell off of it. You get the feeling off of it,
Yeah.
It's like what Crystal was saying, that there's some people who just want more. They're never satisfied.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend in high school who would always say, "You eat till you're full, not till you can't breathe."
I also think, sometimes you're hungry for something and you eat it, that didn't satisfy my craving.
Oh, yeah.
God always satisfies our cravings.
I was going to say, that was going to be what I was going to say, too, is it's not always that physical food. It's that spirit. I mean, it says of his soul. I mean, your soul, the only thing that can satisfy your soul is God, His Word.
Yeah. Yeah, so to explain that, the King James says it this way: the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. In eternity's perspective, what are we talking about here?
Salvation.
What's that?
In the end, we won't want for nothing.
Correct. We know Christ is our personal Savior. We have accepted Him. We walk with Him. We won't want for anything, will we?
Which philosopher is it? A few hundred years ago now, it's talked about how there is a God-shaped hole in all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Am I thinking of Lewis? Is that C.S. Lewis?
I don't remember.
No,
I
mean,
that's
only a couple of hundred years, but...
I'm gonna be curious.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm gonna look
it up. Well, somebody look it up.
It's C.S. Lewis who says we're all searching that until our souls find rest in God, but I don't think that's the God-shaped hole quote. Come on, Google.
Augustine, maybe?
Yeah, Augustine. Cool. So that would be like 1600 years ago. Yeah.
Alrighty.
Sorry. I was a few millennia off.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Is it a verse or a song that talks about never wanting for bread?
Yes. I mean, there's a song from the late 90s that there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long. And it's like, there is none like you. Another hymn called Satisfied. Isaiah 55, though, might be the one where it says, come and buy bread without cost, drink wine.
That was someone in the New Testament. But I'm not. Something about putting your head in enough bread. I can't think of it.
It's just partly. Yeah, no, I'm trying to piece it together. John 6 says that I am the bread of life. And they all use that.
Blaise Pascal also did some.
There you go.
Augustine, Blaise Pascal, maybe. Yeah. Some of them are a little newer, where folks have reiterated it, so that was just coming up. So I was like, okay.
There's a super angsty early Knox song by some young lady at the time. So there's a God-shaped hole in all of us who made it popular. Yeah. Usually played in rom-coms.
Yes.
Oh, it's about a seed begging for bread.
But what was it?
Something about seed begging for bread.
Nope, I don't know.
So did we put it in categories?
We haven't. So what categories would you assign verse 25?
Righteousness.
What about faith?
The last part, you could have destitution.
Yeah.
The lack of want, you know, is they're destitute, you know, when it's a term, you know.
Gift from God? As I was looking at it, I looked at it as the difference between heaven and hell. In heaven, if we have accepted Christ, we will feast, sit at the table, and walk on streets of gold. But if we don't, and we pass away, we go to hell, where we don't get a drink of water, we aren't going to have anything good to eat, and there will be nothing but torment, and we will be hungry. And we'll be hungry. We'll be hungry for those that are in heaven, and for what they get, we get none if we're in hell. That's to me, it was a pretty stark picture of why it's important for our light to shine, right? Our light is to shine so that others don't have to experience being hungry for heaven. Giving them the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven is the goal. It's the opportunity. That's, I don't know, that's kind of where I kind of left it and where I kind of saw that chapter finish up. So what we always do when we finish up a chapter or when we finish up an evening, we've got a couple of minutes, as you look at your list and the numbers that you filled in and all these categories and kind of where you are, kind of overall, what would you say the overall theme of chapter 13 or even this evening, where would you kind of throw that on the scatter map, you know, if you're placing all the dots around, where is it focused mostly in this chapter?
Influence.
Yeah, our influence.
Lifestyle.
Our lifestyle.
Faithfulness too.
Yeah, faithfulness.
I have most of mine in that whole God's guidance section.
Yeah. So things like influence or faithfulness, commitment, instruction, counsel, plans, and obedience.
I had a lot more tonight under the This Is Our God section in that sovereignty and mm-hmm. compassionate. I had a lot more than I typically do down there.
Yeah.
So I think that goes back to that he has a plan. We don't have to worry about revenge. We don't have to, you know.
There's all that things to whether it's life or death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our speech and our conversation and our behaviors. Anyone else have anything else they want to add? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you and we thank you that you are God and that you provided us a roadmap to behave. We thank you that you've given us an opportunity to understand what faithfulness and commitment and just following you and listening to you in the words, come follow me. Lord, I pray that you would just watch over us this week. Give us a desire to work on one of these attributes this week. Help us to follow and listen and talk to you more often. Pray, Lord, just watch over us. Keep us safe this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.